Father, we would come before you because we need to. Lord, we are in process and the world sometimes has victory over us. And we know that shouldn't be and we don't want it to be. And we need to hear from you. We ask, Lord, that you would speak. You would touch lives, touch mine especially, Lord. Help each one of us to run in such a way that corporately and individually we hear well done. That you, Lord, are spoken well of in our community. That you are lifted high in our family, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In our society, most often what's important to people is the bottom line. Everybody wants to know what's the bottom line. And sometimes we can let that mentality spill over into a Christian walk. You look at a good pair of track shoes, and you want to know, are they in? Do they work? We're not so concerned with the process. Were they little kids that were working 12 to 14 hours a day? Were they slave labor? Were they prison labor? We're not concerned about the process. We're concerned about the end product. We have that good cup of Starbucks or Seattle's Best or Tully's or just plain home brew. And we like it. We say, this is good stuff. We're concerned about how the coffee tastes, but maybe not who picked the beans and whether or not they got enough to make ends meet. We're just concerned that it didn't cost us too much. College. Some of us were very discouraged last night, right? I can tell which ones were. The other side is, yes, finally, they got their upcomings. We got it last week, they got it this week. But sometimes in college, we can be so concerned about sports as being the center point rather than did those athletes get a good education. The bottom line is, did we win or lose, not whether we educated people to work in our society. And we can even do it in the church. We can be so concerned about the end product that I have a ticket to heaven that I'm not concerned about the process in which God is working in my life to touch my community. And we just think, well, I'm a Christian, I made it. And we sit back realizing that the end is not the process or the product, but the process and the product is a day-to-day life that you and I live. I'm going to read some scripture. Generally, we encourage you to turn. I just want you to close your eyes. Now, the first hour I asked that, and some of you didn't open your eyes after the service. As a matter of fact, some heads were even going like that. So I will ask you to open your eyes afterwards, but I want to read this, and I find that sometimes when I'm listening to music, or something, close my eyes and get rid of all the distractions. I just want you to listen as I read. It's 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You can open your eyes now. How many of you today know that peace, that joy, that hope that this scripture talked about in your day-to-day walk from infancy to maturity in Jesus Christ? Now, many of you know that you should be experiencing that, but in reality, there's oftentimes anger, frustration, and hopelessness. Amen? Yeah. And you just don't think it's fair what's going on. And you know, the problem is not with God or His plan. The problem is with you and I. Because we don't buy into His plan and the way He wants to do it. There is a way that we want to do it. And when we choose to do it our way, we are setting ourselves up for destruction. There is a movie. I don't even go to many movies, but there's a movie, it's called The Titans, and I'd recommend every one of you see it. It's a great movie because it really talks about what we're trying to do here in this community and in the greater community here in the Puget Sound and in the larger community around the world. And in this particular movie, The Titans, there's a new black coach that's taking over in a white school that's for the first time is being integrated. And Denzel Washington's the coach. And he's getting both the whites and the black players together on buses to go away before the preseason. And as he's doing that, this white All-American linebacker comes up to his coach. Let me tell you something. He says, I'm your star player. And these guys are going to make up the defense. You can do something with the rest of the team, but we're the defense. And Denzel looks at him. And he smiles. And he gets the whole team around him. And he proceeds to rip this gentleman apart. His final statement is, who's your daddy? And this white boy is very racist at this particular point. And that was very hard. And he wouldn't respond. He said, who's your daddy? He says, I want to know who your daddy is before you get on that bus. And finally he says, you're my daddy. What he wanted that whole team to know is, I'm the coach, and I call the plays. You and I are on a team. We're Christians belonging to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the coach, and he's to call the plays. And all too often, we're calling the plays and asking him to okay them, just like that player was. And we wonder why we have disaster. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's where we're going to be parking this morning. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We're always carrying about in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And I want to look at three things. I first want to look at the power that is made available to every one of us. Then I want to look at the process in which God takes us through so that the end product is one that will bring life to a dead world. First then, the power in verse 7, he says, but we have this treasury in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Here the coach, God, answers the question, who brings about true change? You need to know who's going to bring about change in your life. The world says it's us, it's society. God says it's God. And somewhere in between, you and I find our stand. And sometimes we think it's God, and sometimes we think it's Mark Webster. Because Mark Webster really wants to do it God's way, not the world's way, so that's okay. But that's not God's way. So from God's perspective, it's the wrong methodology. And he says we have this treasure. What's the treasure? The treasure is when God comes into our lives, Jesus Christ parks himself into us, and he walks with us the rest of our lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's our light. That's the power. He says, and the verse before that he says, and God shed his light in our hearts to give us a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's broken into our lives and gives a taste of what heaven's going to be like. And he says, now start to walk. Start to reorder your house. And along the way, I want you to know that your house is made of clay. Any of you bought in a clay house lately? Any of you buy a clay house lately? Would you buy one? No. Why? Because you know it just, boom, it's going to fall apart. But you know in reality, that's what these are. They're clay vessels. Some of you know it. You've got aches and pains that are never going to go away. And he could have said, these are gold vessels, these are silver vessels, these are marble vessels, these are stone vessels. All those vessels were available when Paul was writing, but he said they're clay vessels. They were the common vessels. They were the vessels that got used and destroyed just like that because they fell apart. And he says, hello, folks, wake up. You have a clay vessel. And if you're going to get through life, you better realize that I am your power source, your only power source. And the struggle is, do we believe God or do we believe the world? See, the world says, just put a little bit of glaze on it, polish it up, fire it, it looks good. Or maybe they say, you know, it is clay, so what we'll do, we'll build these walls around it so nobody can get close enough to injure this clay vessel and it'll be protected. But all those ways, see, are good for the human side, but they're not good for God's side because God's doing something radically different. What God is doing, because God loves this world, is He's destroying every clay pot in this world through a process so hopefully they look to Him and not to themselves for the only answer, and the answer is found in Jesus Christ. So He says, I am the power and the choice is yours. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the choice is every one of ours every day. Do I believe I need to trust God only, or do I need to trust in Mark Webster? And you better start to learn to trust in God only, because the process will destroy you otherwise. Look at the process that God takes every one of us through. And not every one of us, I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about every one of us that are alive on this planet. Listen, Lynn, to the process. Verse 8 through verse 10. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying on about in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. Now, after you came forward, if somebody was going to tell you the process is hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, most of you would have turned around and walked out. Amen? You probably wouldn't, because you want to look super spiritual, but we get tired of being struck down, persecuted, don't we? And the world has it happening to them too, only the process is different, because when the world gets hard-pressed, they do get crushed. When they are perplexed, they do get despaired. When they are persecuted, they do feel abandoned. And when they are struck down, they are destroyed. But God, in a very miraculous way, allows us to go through the same process, and yet we're not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not abandoned, and we're not destroyed, because Jesus Christ is greater than all of our problems. Amen? And that's a process we have to understand if we're to have success. See, we would much rather come to Christ and walk the easy road rather than walk the road that is sometimes hard, but it's the only road in which God can shine through to change His world. Remember the demonic in Mark 5? Here is a man that may or may not have had any clothes on. He was a man that they tried to chain up. He would break chains. He must have beat up people. He must have tormented people because they wanted to confine him. And he lived an isolated life all by himself. No one cared for him. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and he casts the demons out and he heals them. He gets clothes on them. He's got a civil mind. He's enjoying all of his time with Jesus. All the town people come up and they're upset, not because of a life or a person. They're upset because of what? The bottom line. We lost 2,000 pigs today. Who cares that there's a life changed? So they're not really even concerned about this one man, are they? You know, you would think here was a man. They must have had some sort of relationship with him, or they would have killed him for all the pain that he was causing them. I mean, they said what? They chained him up? So he had some sort of relationship, but now he's whole. And they don't want any part of him. Now, where would you want to go if Jesus pushed off on his boat to leave that community? You'd want to go with Jesus. He's the one that healed you. He's the one that's putting you together. And what does Jesus have him do? He says, go back to your community and live out the truth that is in your life now. And God asked us to do that too. And that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Going back to the people that knew how I lived before I came to Christ. Going back to the people that I grew up with. Going back to, I've had people come in for counseling, they want to get married, and they were not a Christian, and their partner is not a Christian, and they become saved. And I say, if your partner hasn't been saved, you go back and you lead that person to Christ. Maybe God wants to heal that marriage before you even think about this other thing. Matter of fact, we're not going to be involved in this other one as long as the opportunity for God to work a miracle there is there. And you and I need to be going back into our world, not being afraid of what we were, but being empowered by who we are now. And he says, along the way, I'm going to make it hard for you. He said, hard press means life is going to be tough from the outside. And it's not going to change. All of us experience times when everything gets pressure. Amen? You know you do. And just gets cranked down. That's what life is all about. But God says, while you are getting under that pressure, I'm going to work in and through you in such a way that at the end you're not going to be crushed. We all know people that they say, this person was crushed by his circumstances. He's never the person he used to be because the situation destroyed him. And God says, I love you enough, I'm going to let you be crushed, but it won't destroy you. That's a miracle from God. We had a harvest fest here the last part of October, and we had the kids come over to the office. And each year I bring my apple press over, and we crush a lot of apples to make some cider. And you know, when I start to crush those apples, I don't know if they're good apples or bad apples. You can't tell a good apple from a bad apple from the outside. They all look good. But when they get in that crush, that press, and I start cranking it away, I can start to tell if it's not real strong, it's not real good. I'm listening to the aroma. And then I take a taste, and I'll tell whether those are good apples or bad apples. And when God allows you and I to be crushed, what flows out of our life? That sweet aroma of praise, of thankfulness? Or is it anger and bitterness and rage? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says what? For we are God's aroma of Christ among those who are saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, and to the other we are the fragrance of life. And when you and I get in those press and start to be cranked out, what is flowing out of your life? You know, when I get in that kind of a press and all of a sudden I hear anger or resentment start flowing out, I know that I have not been cultivating that relationship with Christ, and what God is pulling out is what I put in. It's the old nature. And God is going to do that. He's going to crush every one of us because He wants His love to flow out. He wants us to touch us. And then the miracle comes that when the non-Christian who's also in that press and is violently angry, and he's cursing, and is upset. I go to a health club, and oftentimes in our health clubs, things are not what they should be. And it's amazing how people will badmouth and words that will come out of their mouths. It's amazing. But if you don't get caught up in that, they start asking a question, why aren't you crushed with that particular situation? Why are you not destroyed? And the answer is because of Jesus Christ. When I finish the crushing of those apples, I'll take out all the pulp. It'll be about a third of what it was before. And I'll just dump it. It's wasted. It's crushed. It's useless. But if somehow I could take a syringe and take some of that apple juice and put it in some of those pieces and fill them back up again, they would be useful again. And you know, that's just what God does in our life. He takes us through a rough situation, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, through our innermost being, out of it will flow what? Streams of living water. And when that which is crushed is filled with fluid, it begins to live again. And it's in another position for God to take it to another situation to crush it, only that living water, that good stuff, is flowing out, and it's there to be used by somebody to touch somebody. And so, from one perspective, he crushes us. That's outside pressure. And then he says, not only are you going to face outside pressure, but you're going to face internal pressure. And the idea of perplexed but not in despair means, I don't know what to do. There's all sorts of things out there, and I just don't know what to do. We've been there, haven't we? Probably, this morning I was talking about an illustration is, got a tiger chasing me down a maze. And I got a guy in front of me saying, just follow me, I'll take you through the maze. Remember, follow me. There's places, there are other turns to get out of here, but in every turn there's another tiger. And I'm just trying to stay on his toes, but he's faster than I am, and he's getting farther and farther. And finally, we turn a corner, and I can't see him. And there are four different options. I'm perplexed. See, sometimes it gets such a way that some people just give up. They just say, I'm going to sit down here, might as well eat me, I give up. The Christian doesn't. The Christian says, okay, God, I lack wisdom. We lack wisdom, we ask. And then when that one Kmart light goes on, I don't ask any questions, do I? I just head for that tunnel because that's where God's taking care of me. See, that's why you and I, when we get perplexed, do not have to go into despair. We do not have to lose control and start to scream at anybody. We don't have to lose control and kick something over. Oh, we never do that as Christians. But we can't we? When things get perplexed and we just do not know how to handle them, if we're not careful and we haven't been plugged into Jesus, we can do just the opposite of what we know God would have us to do. And we're not proud of ourselves. We know it's wrong, but because we've not been plugged in and walking with Christ, we're not filled with God the Holy Spirit. And we do not enjoy the promise that God says that when you're perplexed, you will not be in despair. But not only do we have pressure from the outside, not only do we have pressure internally, but there's emotional well-being. He says this, he says, when you're persecuted, you're not abandoned. And when you and I make stands for Jesus Christ, we will be persecuted. Not necessarily, oftentimes outside, but even inside the church. When we feel God is calling us to do something, we need to do it. We don't need to listen to everybody else when they say no. Now, if inside the church somebody says, take a hold of a second, you need to go back and make sure all the pieces. But if it's God speaking, you need to walk that way. And you know, if it's you and God, you're not abandoned. Jesus says He will never forsake us or leave us. Amen? So as long as I'm choosing to walk with God, matter of fact, where are you going to spend eternity? With Christ, right? So you might be walking with Him now. And He says, as Christians, there will be times when you're going to be persecuted. At your office, in your school, maybe you're in the service. I told the first service, you need to pray for our young men and women that are in the service. We need to step up and go to the service. But inside the service, there are things such that they want to mold you and make you into something that you're not. And we need to pray that they would stand strong. And you'd be surprised when one young man or woman will stand strong for Jesus Christ, how many weak Christians will also stand up, and all of a sudden they'll have a team and they'll start praying for one another. And all of a sudden, rather than being afraid of the environment, they're going to be bold for the environment and they're going to start touching other men and women with the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't have to act like a world. I've got a place where you can find peace and joy and happiness, and that's in Christ. And He says, as you and I walk along the process, there are going to be times in our lives when we're going to be persecuted. How do you feel? If you feel abandoned, then I tell you, you need to spend time with God. Because God tells me from His Word, when I am walking with God, when I am persecuted, I will not be abandoned. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. There may come a time in our world, the U.S., that we may be persecuted for our faith. And I'm not talking about people just talking about us. That's not persecution. There are places in this world right now, if you stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, will you come to Jesus Christ? Let me share. And that could mean your death. That could mean your loss of your job. That could mean isolation, starvation. So we have it easy. We need to pray for those that have those rougher choices. But they will come our way. And we need to stand strong. But not only is there emotional well-being that He speaks about, but sometimes there's physical well-being. that he puts us through. He says, we're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. And hard pressed really spoke about being knocked down to the ground. And the picture here is a soldier in battle being knocked to the ground. When the enemy gets when you get your enemy on the ground, you've got the victory. It's just finishing it off. It's running over in the coup de grace. It's stabbing him. It's killing him, because when he's on the ground, he's defenseless. And he's saying, in your life and my life, there will be times when we will be struck down physically. But you know something? We are not destroyed. This week, on national TV, they did a PR piece against the Attorney General, because the Attorney General is looking at the state of Oregon to what he can do to stop assisted suicides. And so they were sharing about a gentleman, a real good man that had 5 kids. He was a coach and he had MS. And it's a shame that he has to suffer so. So we should be able to let him off easy, and we're just going to give him a few chemicals, let him go to sleep tonight, not worry about it. Now, isn't that the loving thing to do? And then I thought about an individual we have in our fellowship, Kevin Jones. And I'll tell you something. I remember when Kevin Jones came up, and now I can't remember. It was 3 or 4 years ago. Kevin has long lived out the normal lifespan of somebody stricken with MS. But I remember when he first started to talk to me, and I said, you know, there's something going on here, I'm not sure. And then he was sharing. But I will tell you this. Kevin Jones, from the time he was struck down until now, has not been destroyed. Matter of fact, I would make this statement. I think Kevin would make this statement. He has affected more lives for Jesus Christ since he was struck with MS than he ever, with Lou Gehrig's disease, than he ever did before then. And some of us get struck down in a lot of ways. Pastor Hutch has been struck down with cancer. But he was able to praise God, because who's in control? God. God will see him through. God will see Kevin through. Maybe you're a teapot and you have a little spout. And all of a sudden you're a clay teapot and you have no spout. Woe is that poor teapot now. It can't pour out anything. But lo and behold, God says, out of your innermost being will flow streams of living water, and all you have to do is trust Christ. So you turn over and, whoa, living water is flowing out, and I'm touching lives. I have a purpose. I don't have a spout, but I have a purpose. Now I go around pouring streams of living water out in other people's cups. And I came across another pot. You don't have a spout? Let me tell you about Jesus. He gave me more power. He can give you more power. Now there's two pots going around with no spouts, sharing Jesus' love. You know, God breaks in and brings things into our lives to touch our world. And we have a choice. We can be crushed. We can get in despair. We can feel abandoned, and we can feel destroyed. Or we can watch what God wants to do with a broken piece of clay. See, when Gideon's posse, we like to think of them, God kept stripping away all the human side till he got 300 men. And they put torches in clay pots. And it wasn't till those clay pots were broken that the light shone forth. And when the light shone forth, the enemy was defeated. And when you and I are willing to trust Jesus Christ to sometimes shatter our pots. Sometimes maybe just take a piece out of our pot so that His light can shine through. We are in a position to radically change our world. What does it say in verse 10? We always carry about in our bodies the death of Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says what? I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, no more do I live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, have you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you crucified with Jesus Christ? Who is living in that body now? Crucified with Christ means it's no more my choice, is it? But it's God's choice. Now I'm going to bring it back home. There's a need in the nursery. There's a need in the ushers. There's a need in parking. I don't want to do it. Why? Well, it's going to jam up my time. I'm going to break my comfort zone. Are you part of the body of Jesus Christ? Are you part of Antioch? Is there a need? Are you part of the team? Coach walks over to the bench and says, "Hey, Webster, Joe out there broke his leg. You need you out there." "Oh, Coach, I'm watching a little game here on my Playboy. Play, what do you call those things?" "Game Boy." "I'm a clay vessel too. I make mistakes. Coach, as soon as I finish this, I'll go on out." Coach says, "I haven't got time for you. I want to get somebody who wants to be in the game. Because the game is a life and death game. And there are people that are dying out there. And when I fail to rise to the occasion, when Christ calls me to stand up and let Him be using me in the game, I fail to be where Christ would have me to be." And God wants... See, God wants you to experience the joy of this. This is not a bad situation, this process, because it's going to yield a fantastic product. It's going to yield a person that's content, the Christian, and it's going to bring people to Christ who need to see the light of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "In the same way, so let your light shine before men that they perceive your good works and glorify Mark Webster. And glorify your Father who is in heaven." The reason most of us don't want people to see the good works is because they may see some flesh and they may see me fail. So what? If that's what God wants, that's what God wants, and He's going to use that to glorify Himself. And you know, it's sometimes in our utter failures that God is utterly glorified. See, people are not so much concerned about your words, but your lifestyle. Isn't that true? "For better or worse, till death do us part." It's easy to say, it's hard to live. But we need to live it. Wouldn't it be something that if we could say everybody that were Christians that married and committed themselves to Jesus Christ, no one got a divorce? Now, wouldn't that be a statement in our world? Isn't it funny? A world wants companionship. They want that thing, but they don't want to give up themselves. And so they go from one marriage to another. Somewhere there was a night they were talking about somebody getting married for the fifth time. Why get married for the fifth time? You'd think after four times you realize it's not going to make it. But there's something inside of you that says, "I want to be part of a team." But if you don't get rid of the old nature, that team is going to be destroyed. And we need to hang in with Jesus if we're going to do it. Because it's a process. Now look at this product. Because there's nowhere you can go. See, you can't run away from this product. Verse 11. "For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." So then, we who are alive are sometimes being given over to death. What's the word there? Always. You are always going to be in one of these problems areas. That's what life is all about. The choice is whether you're going to die to self and let Christ shine through, or you're going to live with self and be crushed. You're going to live with self and feel abandoned. You're going to live with self and be in despair. You're going to live with self and be destroyed. See, you're going to heaven, there's no question about it, but are you going to look like the rest of the world, or are you going to look like clay pots that God is shining through? That's the question. And if you want to look like clay pots in which God is shining through, then you need to realize the only power it can come from is Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You've got to realize you cannot do it. And the problem is, that's the hardest thing for you and I to do, is to realize we cannot do it on our own. If you had cancer and I had a pill, and if you daily took this pill, this cancer would daily be eradicated from your body. But if you didn't take this pill, you'd never live to see the light of day the next day. How hard would it be to get the first thing in the morning, take that pill? It'd be a cinch. Baby, if I'd wake up and I'd be right there with a glass of water, boom, putting it down, wouldn't it? Now, you and I do have a cancer. It's called sin. It's not eradicated from our bodies, not until the day we see Jesus Christ face to face. And its desire is to grow and take over control in your body. But I also have a pill. The pill's not outside, the pill is inside, and that's Jesus Christ. He lives inside my life. But I need to spend time daily with Him if I'm going to have the victory. If I'm going to be the kind of person that when I'm hard-pressed, I'm not crushed. If I'm going to be the kind of person that when I am perplexed, I'm not in despair. If I'm going to be the kind of person when I am pushed around or persecuted, that I don't feel abandoned. If I'm to be the kind of person, if God in some gracious way chooses to work in an awesome way and strike me down, that I will not feel destroyed. I need to spend time with Jesus. See, the product is this. He says in verse 11, so we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that what? So that His life may be manifested in our mortal body. See, as I go through this process of letting God scrape away through this my old body, His light is revealed. It's manifest. The world sees something uniquely different. Why did many people come to Christ in the early church? Because they saw people that were willing to live for Jesus Christ. They were willing to die for Jesus Christ. And people said, that's unusual. And it is, because it's a miracle. It's a miracle only by the grace and power of Jesus Christ. But that's a miracle that's available to every one of us if we want to, on a daily basis, spend time with God. And it goes back to what the coach said in the first place. We have this treasury in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And when I will allow that power, as I spend time daily with God, to come through, He's going to destroy my old nature. He's going to destroy that which of Mark Webster distracts from the light of Jesus Christ. In that process, though, His light's going to shine forth. When His light shines forth, I'm going to have an opportunity to give life to somebody else and say, you know, what you're going through, I went through it. This is what God did for me. What God did for me, He will do for you. You need to come to Him. You need to trust Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, verse 3, it says, the God of all grace and comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. These are afflictions when you're hard-pressed, when you're perplexed, when you're persecuted, when you're struck down. Those are rough times. But He says, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, with the comfort we need, so that we are in a position to comfort anybody else with the comfort we ourselves are receiving. And when I allow God to work through this clay vessel in that way, I set Him up to communicate His truth to a dying world that needs to hear the truth. See, I know where I'm going. They don't. They're going to hell. And the way God works is that He crushes you and I amidst the world and their crushing. Only they see a difference, and it's Jesus Christ. Now, where do we go from here? If you're not experiencing God's miraculous provision, when you're crushed, when you're hard-pressed, you feel crushed, when you're perplexed, you get in despair, when you are persecuted, you feel alone, and when things are going bad, when you're struck down, you are destroyed. If you're there, you need to be spending time with Jesus. Because Jesus is only going to work. No, I'm not going to say it because God miraculously does other things. But generally speaking, he'll only work his miraculous power in your life when you're willing to set yourself up for him to work. Jesus walked away from Capernaum. He said he didn't do the miracles there. He did in other places because of their lack of faith. See, when I, by faith, realize the only way I'm going to make it through tomorrow is spending time with God, he miraculously empowers me to work in a mighty way. And so, first of all, you need to say, how much do I believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to help this clay vessel? If he's the only one, then you need to spend time with him daily. To do it otherwise is to say, I can take care of my own clay pot. And that's to set yourself up for destruction. So some of you need to do that. Some of you need to realize we're in a war. We are literally in a war. And Satan would have you all isolated doing your own thing. The problem with that is it's easy to knock us off one at a time. We need to be a team. And I would challenge you that you need to be in some sort of accountability group. I believe in them. Can you succeed by God's grace on your own? You can. But it's a whole lot better when you've got other people praying for you and speaking the truth and sometimes standing in your faith and saying, you know, Webster, that's wrong. I need to hear that. You need to ask the other person's forgiveness for what you did. I need to hear that. We need to be in teams to pray for one another. We will help you with that. If you want to be in a support team or a team of people, let us know. We'll find a way. And third, you may not be a Christian. You may be here looking for answers and thinking the answers are just living by this set of standards over against the world's set of standards. That's setting you up for failure just like it sets up a believer that tries to live by the world. The only way you're going to know the joy and peace that comes from God is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's nothing, something you earn. You don't deserve it. It's a free gift and you need to accept it on His terms. And His terms are so simple, most often we stumble over it. He says, you just need to realize today, right now, you can't do anything to change your relationship. It's only through Jesus Christ. You can't get good enough. You can't earn it. You are a sinner. You're separated from God. There's holes in your life, and you know it, and that's why you're here. And His terms are coming to Him just like that. Admitting, I can't do it. I'm a sinner, God. I thank You that You died for that sin. You walked on this earth to show me how to walk, and I want You to come into my life and show me how to live. When you ask Him to come in your life, realize that He died for your sin and was raised against for your victory, He will begin to put your clay pot together. Now, your clay pot may look better than every clay pot here. It may have all sorts of glaze and look real shiny, and everybody thinks it's together. You know it's not. Your clay pot may be the ugliest clay pot in the world. It may have been set by the fire, and it's all sooty, and maybe no one wants it. God does. Or maybe your clay pot's just a bunch of potsherds. No one can even tell that it was a pot in the first place. God takes every one of those pots. He empowers them with His grace and His love, and He makes them something new and unique. And He uses them in a new and unique way. And you need to accept Him this morning. And in a moment, I'm going to pray. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I challenge you to accept Him and turn your life over to Him. And then if you do that today, let us know, because we want to help you stand strong. If you're here and you've drawn a line, you said, I want to spend time daily in God's Word, let us know. We can pray with you. I'm here and I want to do that and I want to get a team. Let us know. We'll help you get in a team. God wants us to be victorious. Antioch leadership wants you to be victorious. And the only way that we can is when we listen to the coach and we do it the coach's way. Let's pray. Father, if there are those, and I know there are those there this morning that are outside of You, they're coming, they're looking for answers, they need You. I ask right now that they would turn their lives over. They'd say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. The consequence of sin is death and separation, and I don't want to be separated from You anymore. I realize that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin totally, and I'm accepting His payment on the cross as total payment for my sin and the victory and the resurrection as verification that You will raise me up and You will empower me to live. And I'm going to trust You to do it because I can't do it on my own. You tell us if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just. And some of us right now, Lord, just want to let go of running our lives ourselves. We've known You for a long time, but we're doing it our way. We want to do it your way. And I ask, Lord, that you would help them to do that. Lord, that you would make it written in stone in front of each one of us. Daily I need to come before you. Daily I need to take up my cross and I need to communicate with you, because you're the only answer for victory in the day-to-day life. And I want to be victorious, not in my way, but in your way. Come into my life and give me that power right now. Lord, go before us. Let our light so shine that you are glorified in all areas, in everywhere that you find a person from Antioch. May we be your lights. May we give hope to a hopeless world, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.